spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Day tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty, it is Friday, December 18th, 2020, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the program, those of you listening live on RadicalRust.com, and those of you listening by podcast. We appreciate all the podcast listeners out there, and thinking of you this week, we're actually making a bit of a change, and by we, I mean me. I'm making a change in the show, a little bit in format. You know, I've been playing the Friday news at the top of the show, and then I realized, you know, I don't do this daily anymore as a podcast, like I did the normal daily audio stash and the Russ Belville Show before, but I do the news every day as the Cannabis Headline News, and I put that on my behind my paywall. And, you know, I've got this kind of rule about cannabis news that it should be free to all. So for the Russ Belville Show, moving forth, henceforth, we shall be doing a weekly news segment here at the top of this podcast. You'll catch up on all of the cannabis headline news for the entire week when you listen to this free podcast. So that's a change. Also coming up on the show, we got plenty to get to. Jay-Z has released a new cannabis line, and I've got a few things to say about that. We've got some excellent drug war data mining for today's podcast, where the Monitoring the Future study is out. This is the one that looks at U.S. 8th, 10th, and 12th graders, has been talking to the 12th graders since 1975. Some amazing facts to pull out of that in the data mines today. And then at the end of the show, we're going to take a time for a radical rant and talk about how federal legalization is all coming down to the state of Georgia. We'll tell you why that is. And then if you stick around for hour two, you're subscribing through my Patreon page, we'll do some more look at federal government action in marijuana legalization this week, and a movie trailer for Cheech and Chong's final hit, Can It Be True? Also, a man who got freed from a life sentence for selling two dime bags. That's coming up in hour two.
This is your Cannabis Headline News, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
With your cannabis headline news for the week ending December 18th, 2020, I'm Russ Belville. Two bills to legalize marijuana in the Garden State have cleared the legislature and await signatures from Governor Phil Murphy to make New Jersey the 13th legal marijuana state, according to Marijuana Moment. One bill establishes the legal marijuana market and legalizes possession of an ounce of marijuana by adults. It also creates a social equity excise tax of $10 per ounce on marijuana that increases to $60 per ounce as the price of marijuana falls below $200. All that revenue plus 70% of cannabis sales tax will be directed to social justice initiatives. The legislation also caps production licenses at 37 for the first 2 years and allows for the existence of cannabis consumption lounges. The second bill decriminalizes the personal possession of 6 ounces of marijuana, creates a path for expungement of prior criminal marijuana records, and removes marijuana smell as a probable cause for police search. Also awaiting the governor's signature is a bill that depenalizes the possession of psychedelic mushrooms to a disorderly person's offense, punishable by a maximum $1,000 fine and up to 6 months in jail.
On item 19, moved by Councilmember Gaio, seconded by Councilmember Cobb.
Aye.
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 That's the unanimous vote this week of the Oakland, California City Council on a resolution calling on California state lawmakers to decriminalize the use of psychedelics like magic mushrooms.
Allow local jurisdictions to authorize its citizens to engage in community-based healing ceremonies involving the use of entheogenic plants and fungi without risk of arrest and state prosecution.
The vote is a product of activist-led efforts by the group Decriminalize Nature, which has been pushing local legislators to expand upon the city's current decriminalization policy that was enacted last year. Oakland was the first city in the U.S. to make a broad range of psychedelics like psilocybin and ayahuasca among the municipality's lowest law enforcement priorities. The Arizona Department of Health Services on Thursday announced draft rules for the implementation of Prop 207, the marijuana legalization initiative that mandates the state begin accepting dispensary applications on January 19th. Arizona Central reports that there currently exist about 120 medical marijuana dispensaries in the Grand Canyon State, and they will be the first to be licensed for recreational marijuana sales. 12 new recreational licenses will be made available for rural counties lacking medical dispensaries. Regulators expect the first recreational sales could come as early as March 20, 2021. Licensing fees for recreational dispensaries will run $25,000. Applying to work at a recreational dispensary will incur a $500 licensing fee. Another 26 licenses were earmarked by Prop 207 to go to social equity candidates. The rules for those licenses have not yet been crafted. The personal rights included in Prop 207 went into effect last week. Adults 21 and older can now possess 1 ounce of marijuana and cultivate 6 cannabis plants, invalidating for medical marijuana patients the past decade's prohibition on cultivating cannabis if they lived within 25 miles of a dispensary. Cannabis available in recreational shops will be taxed at 16%. Tax revenue will cover implementation costs and then be divided among funds for community colleges, infrastructure, a justice reinvestment, and public services such as police and firefighters. When Washington State became one of the first two states to legalize marijuana in 2012, activists assailed the initiative for failing to include the right to grow cannabis at home. Maybe 2021 is the year that mistake is rectified. Marijuana Moment reports that lawmakers filed a bill last week to allow adults to cultivate 6 cannabis plants at homes and keep all the marijuana harvested from those plants. Households would be limited to 15 plants max, regardless of how many adults live there. Similar bills to enact home grow rights have been filed in Olympia since 2015. None has made it to a full floor vote. Under the measure, all home cannabis plants and stored marijuana over 1 ounce would have to be tagged with the owner's name, address, birth date, planting date, and harvest date.
This budget also lays the groundwork to legalize marijuana in our Commonwealth.
Virginia Governor Ralph Northam unveiled this week his budget priorities for the next biennium, including criminal justice reforms.
We must talk about improving our system of expunging past crimes from people's records.
Northam's budget provides $25 million over the next 2 years to handle expungements.
We know that laws to ban marijuana historically were based in discrimination, and criminalization laws have disproportionately harmed minority communities.
Northam insists on addressing that injustice.
Our path forward will lead with social equity, public health, and public safety. This session is the time to get this done.
Northam also notes the benefit legalization for the benefit of legalization for people who don't use marijuana.
It also will eventually bring in tax revenue that can be used to further make sure we are providing equitable access to opportunity.
You have a $15 billion hole in the budget. We need $15 billion.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo was also discussing state budgets on Wednesday, offering legalization as one suggestion for raising revenue.
And are there other ways to get revenue? How about marijuana? Marijuana, we were supposed to have done for the past 2 years anyway, and would raise revenue.
According to estimates, marijuana legalization would bring in $300 million in annual tax revenue. Marijuana legalization has been stymied in the past two legislative sessions, not from lack of political will to pass it, but due to debate over how the revenue should be spent, with advocates for communities impacted by the drug war withholding support over lack of social equity provisions. Lawmakers in the Beehive State are eyeing changes to the state's medical marijuana law passed in 2018. Currently, physicians in Utah are limited to making cannabis recommendations to just 275 patients, a policy designed to prevent the emergence of specialty medical marijuana clinics. After 2020, those physicians will need to register with the state, pay a fee, and attend an online training session in order to continue recommending cannabis. Changes being considered would allow any Utah doctor to recommend up to 15 patients, regardless of state registration. Deseret News also reports that lawmakers are considering adding the medical marijuana patient database to the state's controlled substance monitoring database. Advocates say combining the two databases will make it easier for physicians, while opponents fear easy access to law enforcement for targeting medical marijuana patients. Despite marijuana legalization passing in the state of Montana with the same level of support, 57%, as Donald Trump received in the presidential election, one Montana man says, quote, "I just don't think there's a lot of love for marijuana in Montana," end quote. He's Steve Zabawa, a Billings car dealer who has long been the state's most vocal pot critic. Zabawa is behind a lawsuit to overturn the 2020 legalization vote. He believes the measure illegally determines the distribution of its tax revenue, a power designated to the legislature. Zabawa believes the 14-point win for legalization was due to the advertising by proponents. Quote, "They candy-coated this deal. They lied to the entire state of Montana by saying that this would benefit veterans and fish and wildlife," Zabawa said. "They crossed a line and we're calling them on it," end quote. The Federal Trade Commission announced the launch of Operation CB Deceit, a law enforcement action aimed at curtailing the claims of medical efficacy made by companies selling CBD products. Marijuana Moment reports that the FTC is beginning the action based on complaints it has fielded about six companies. Quote, "Companies made unsupported claims that their oils, balms, gummies, coffee, and other goods could treat serious diseases," announced the FTC via tweet, "including cancer, heart disease, hypertension, Alzheimer's disease, and others," end quote. The six companies named will pay settlements to the FTC. FTC goes further in its warnings to consumers to, quote, "avoid being cheated by a miracle CBD cure," end quote, adding quotes around the word miracle for sarcasm. Following passage of a similar bill by the House last week, the U.S. Senate has passed the Cannabidiol and Marijuana Research Expansion Act on Tuesday.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those no, it would appear that it's a very close vote, but that the ayes have it.
The Senate bill differs from the House's Medical Marijuana Research Act in one key provision, reports Marijuana Moment. While the Senate's bill is aimed at streamlining the process by which researchers may acquire cannabis to study, it does not, as the House bill does, provide access to state legal medical marijuana from dispensaries. Under the Senate bill, research marijuana would still be supplied by the federal government's single cannabis farm at the University of Mississippi. The bill also clarifies the right of doctors to discuss with patients and directs the Department of Health and Human Services to investigate cannabis's medical benefits and federal barriers to research. Marijuana Moment reports that the Department of Justice has granted $350,000 to the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, to develop a test to separate marijuana from hemp. The 2018 federal farm bill legalized hemp, which is cannabis that contains over 0.3% of the psychoactive cannabinoid delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC. But marijuana, the cannabis flowers containing over 0.3% THC, is still federally illegal and prohibited in 35 states. And most state and local law enforcement's testing labs can only distinguish whether a test sample has THC in it, but not at what level. This has led to confusion in states over whom with cannabis should be arrested. In Texas, prosecutors have dismissed hundreds of low-level cases since the Lone Star State legalized hemp, while in Idaho, state police bragged about, quote, "the largest pot bust in state history," end quote, when they seized a semi-truck containing over 6,000 pounds of hemp. Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, has filed a bill in Congress to increase the allowable THC concentration in industrial hemp from 0.3% to 1%, reports Marijuana Moment. Paul's bill would also modify testing for THC by shifting the test to finished hemp products rather than testing the dried hemp flower, a process producers say is laborious and produces inconsistent results. The bill also creates a federal seed certificate for interstate transport that verifies the less than 1% concentration, a move designed to prevent improper seizure by state authorities mistaking it for marijuana, as happened to a 6,700-pound load of hemp in Idaho last year. Marijuana Moment reports that former Representative Patrick Kennedy, the co-founder with Kevin Sabet of the anti-marijuana legalization group Project SAM, or Smart Approaches to Marijuana, is lobbying the Biden-Harris administration for the job of Director of Office of National Drug Control Policy, a position Biden helped create as senator in 1988. Kennedy tells Stat News that, quote, I believe I could do better than anyone else, end quote, as drugs are, and that, quote, I share President-elect Biden's position in support of marijuana decriminalization, end quote. Kennedy's Project Sam advocates for keeping marijuana criminally prohibited as a means of coercing apprehended marijuana users into drug rehab facilities. Numerous such facilities and their operators are on the board or financially supportive of Project Sam. Kennedy also runs a nonprofit, the Kennedy Forum, which is partly funded by pharmaceutical companies and addiction treatment centers that have a stake in the decisions he would make as ONDCP director, according to Politico. Marijuana Moment reports that the legalization of marijuana in 15 states will not stop the federal government from continuing to test the urine of federal workers for the presence of THC metabolites. Ron Flegel, director of the Division of Workplace Programs at the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, wrote in a post-election memo, quote, while several states have made changes to their state drug laws during this year's election, I would like to reiterate that there have been no changes to the drug testing panel under the federal drug-free workplace program, end quote. SAMHSA is even warning federal workers about now federally legal CBD products derived from hemp. In a July memo, they warned federal workers that the type of low-THC preparations now made legal by the 2018 Farm Bill could possibly lead to a failed test. SAMHSA is also exploring expansion of federal drug testing by adoption of hair collection techniques. In September, the agency wrote, quote, hair testing potentially offers several benefits when compared to urine, including directly observed collections, ease of transport and storage, increased specimen stability, and a longer window of drug detection. The federal government's pot farm at the University of Mississippi need not worry about any competitors from the 15 legal marijuana states. The National Institute on Drug Abuse contracts with the farm at Ole Miss under the international treaties that allow governments to study cannabis, so long as it's grown and processed in controlled environments. NIDA announced last week it would be extending its contract for another year, reports Marijuana Moment. The marijuana from that farm is supplied to federally approved researchers. It also provides the medical marijuana supply for the two remaining patients in the now-closed Investigative New Drug Program for medical marijuana that was begun in the 1970s. A new poll from FM3 Research that asks respondents from the four states that legalized marijuana on their 2020 ballot shows bipartisan support for the issue. Over 4 in 5 respondents from Arizona, Montana, New Jersey, and South Dakota, states that legalized and span the red-blue political spectrum, believe the federal government should not interfere with their state's new marijuana policy. That figure includes 3/4 of Republicans. Close to 2/3 of the respondents believe marijuana legalization is an issue, quote, both liberal and conservative voters can get behind, end quote. 3/4 believe federal marijuana legalization is, quote, inevitable, end quote. A vote to pass a bill to legalize marijuana nationwide in Mexico was delayed due to minor mistakes in the legislation, President Andrés Manuel López Obrador said on Tuesday.
Porque no hubo tiempo de hacer una revisión. No se pusieron de acuerdo las cámaras y se terminó prácticamente el periodo, pero son asuntos de forma, diría yo, no de fondo.
The Supreme Court granted the delay, López Obrador explained, due to small mistakes like lack of precision about quantities, saying that there was no time to do a review and that the mistakes are a matter of form and not a matter of substance. Marijuana Business Daily reports that Aphria and Tilray, two of the largest Canadian cannabis companies, are merging to create the world's largest global cannabis company. The combined equity value of the two firms is approximately $5 billion Canadian. Under the merger, the combined company would operate under the Tilray name with head offices in the United States, Canada, Portugal, and Germany. The combined firm would be led by Aphria CEO Irwin Simon and a 9-person board of directors. 7 directors from Aphria, including Simon, and 2 from Tilray, including Tilray CEO Brendan Kennedy. With your cannabis headline news for the week, ending Well, that didn't happen like I expected. See what happens when you try something new live. Sometimes the program doesn't work like you expected it to. But that's how you know we're doing it live, right? That's the charm of this program. Hey, folks, the charm of it being live means that it is literally 4:20 right now. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety briefing. And today, the word is be safe out there. Be right back with some behind the headlines on Jay-Z's new potline.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, SoundCloud, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and Boise State University's 2400 baud modem bulletin board system from 1985.
Radical Russ here, reminding you that marijuana legalization doesn't just happen. Smart, dedicated activists have put their freedom and future on the line to make it happen. Like the activists at MPP, the Marijuana Policy Project. MPP has coordinated efforts to pass most of the successful medical marijuana and legalization initiatives since the late 1990s. Learn more about the project and donate today at mpp.org. And keep it here on Radical Russ Radio for conversations with leaders from this organization, the best marijuana music, and the latest news about cannabis.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our cannabis focus.
Yes, getting behind the headlines today on the press releases that have come out from Jay-Z, you know, the rap mogul superstar entertainer. And he's got a new cannabis line out. It's called Monogram, and it features four different strains, but they don't tell you what kind of strains they are. Or what they are. They just say that they're, you know, handpicked and selected and, you know, wonderful, I guess. They come in high, medium, and low potency. And they come in these black, you know, nice, shiny, UV protectant kind of cases. And, well, it's just another one of these cases of a celebrity coming out trying to capitalize on marijuana's popularity. And Jay-Z is not exactly the guy you know as the weed rapper, right? Like, he's not Snoop Dogg. We're not talking Wiz Khalifa or Cypress Hill here, right? He's rapped about it a little, Jay-Z has, but that's just not his, you know, what he's really known for. So, yeah, he's rolling out this new fancy high-end boutique cannabis line. And thanks to my special technology, I was able to get a hold of a flux capacitor radio that allows me to get special signals from the future. And I was able to jump a few weeks into the future where I happened upon somebody else's new cannabis line. I hope you'll appreciate this.
And now, a brief glimpse into the future. Good afternoon. Welcome to Judd's Buds.
Hey.
Anything I can help you find?
What do you got for pre-rolls?
Oh, so glad you asked. We just got in that new Sonogram line from Crazy.
A gram of Cray what?
Sonogram, the new celebrity cannabis brand from rap superstar Crazy.
Nah, never heard of it.
There are four varieties to choose from. Number one, number 70, number 88, and number 96.
Four numbers. What strains are they?
Strains? Oh, dear.
I mean, like, what's number one? Is it an indica? Is it a sativa? Is it a hybrid?
It says it is a cerebral strain to help chill, focus, and confidently tackle obstacles in your path.
What's the THC?
It says it's a medium.
Medium. Okay, is there a THC percentage anywhere?
Here. It says it's 34.31%.
Okay, now we're talking. What about that number 70, the one that says heavy?
It's got notes of sweet citrus and earthy pine give way to a spicy, hashy flavor.
Yeah, sure.
Highly trained artisan rollers break the flower down by hand and roll using a time-honored process that was specially architected by Sonogram's culture and cultivation ambassador, D'Antoine Watkins.
Architected? Okay. What's the THC?
He says it's 23.55%.
Wait. The heavy is 23%, and the medium is 34%?
I guess so.
What about that medium number 96 over there? What's its THC?
25.3%.
Wait, so a number one medium is 34%, but a number 96 medium is 25%, and a number 70 heavy is 23%.
Yeah, I think that's right.
All right. Give me a four-pack of the number one mediums.
It's $40 before tax.
$40? Well, all right, let's see. $40. I guess that's good. And they are 1 gram joints, right?
It says here they are 0.4 grams apiece.
400 milligrams? 1.6 grams of 34% unknown strain marijuana for $40? I can get an eighth of flower that good for $40 with tax at a certain Oregon dispensary, and I get to know exactly what strain it is. Who the hell does this rapper think he is, anyway?
Crazy?
Yeah, crazy. You got that right.
This has been a look into the future.
Wow, that's some amazing technology to be able to pick up radio waves from the future and play them for you right now live on the Russ Belville Show. We'll be hearing a lot more of that coming up. Also coming up on the program next, we're going to be doing some drug war data mining. There's a survey out called the Monitoring the Future Survey. It talks to 8th, 10th, and 12th graders on their attitudes and use of various substances. And the news may or may not shock and surprise you. Also coming up in the show, we've got a special message from the future for those of you who may have been affected by swag. So be ready for that. Also, in hour two, I'm going to talk a little bit more in depth about that New Jersey legalization. There's some good in it and there's some bad in it. Particularly, I'm a little worried about the tax provisions in it. I don't think they know what they're doing in this respect. in hour two, also, another dispatch from the future. Cheech and Chong teaming up again, this time for an action movie. We'll hear all about that. And the story of a man who was sentenced to life in prison for selling two dime bags. He not even really sold them. He just picked them up. That's... He was freed. There is good news in the story, but how he ended up there should infuriate you. All that and more coming up on the Russ Belville Show. The Coffee Pod in Sumter, Oregon is your fast, friendly marijuana shop nestled in the beautiful Elkhorn Mountain Range outside of Baker City. We're serving Eastern Oregon and Idaho's Treasure Valley with the selection of flower, pre-rolls, vapes, dab, and edibles you need at the prices that make it well worth the drive. Don't venture to some well-watched parking lot in some border town dispensary just to take a number and wait in a long line for your cannabis products. Make the drive to the Coffee Pot in Sumter and deal one-on-one with your bud tender with no waiting. See, feel, and smell the products you're after and make your purchase knowing your tax dollars are helping a small tourist community that needs it. Plus, every dollar you spend is a point toward our Bong Bucks program that earns you coupons on glass and accessories. The Coffee Pot also honors our military, seniors, teachers, and first responders with a 10% discount. And as always, OMMP patients pay no 20% tax. Come on up to the Coffee Pot in Sumter, the first business on the left, on the side of the two-story log cabin restaurant, and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
I think it'd be a mistake to legalize.
Okay, well, maybe you're high, too.
Radical Russ here, reminding you that marijuana legalization doesn't just happen. Smart, dedicated activists have put their freedom and future on the line to make it happen. Like the activists at the Hemp Industries Association. Since well before the 2018 Farm Bill re-legalized hemp in America, the HIA has been fighting for the farmers and producers of hemp goods to be able to compete in the global hemp market. Learn more about their mission and get involved at thehia.org. And keep it here on Radical Russ Radio for conversations with leaders from this organization, the best marijuana music, and the latest news about cannabis.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today we're going over the latest figures from the Monitoring the Future survey, and you don't have to take my word for it. You can look it up. They've got some great data tools there. You can read every line at monitoringthefuture.org. This is a study that's been given to a survey that's been taken of U.S. 12th graders since 1975. And then in 1991, they added 8th graders and 10th graders, right? So we're talking high schoolers with respect to the 10th and 12th graders, and junior high kids, or middle school, depending on what part of the country you're from, middle schoolers for the 8th graders. And 2020, the latest results are in. And, you know, now we've had 15 states that have voted and passed laws to legalize marijuana, and the first state to decriminalize drugs. And, of course, as we've been told throughout the length of the drug war, that marijuana is a terribly, terribly dangerous drug. And if we let adults use it, it'll send the wrong message to the kids. They'll send the wrong message to the kids. They'll think it's harmless. They'll think it's okay. And then more kids will smoke dope. And then when more kids smoke dope, well, you know, marijuana is a gateway drug. And so it's going to be gateway. It's going to lead them to harder drugs. It'll be the end of civilization as we know it. And it'll be the worst thing ever possible. So looking at this survey, naturally, we're going to go over the numbers. And so we'll start with the monthly use numbers. And I think this is appropriate, as monthly use gets, you know, the kids that are really doing it. The question is really, have you used the following substance in the past 30 days? Doesn't mean they've been using every month, but yeah, whatever. It's been the past 30 day use. So 2020, after all these states are legalizing, after all these adults are using, and adult use has gone up, the results are that when it comes to drugs, kids taking drugs, and in this case, we're talking any drug other than marijuana. So it could be cocaine or heroin or meth or amphetamines, methamphetamine, ecstasy, sedatives, tranquilizers, that kind of stuff. But not including alcohol or cigarettes, just illegal drugs, right? Other than marijuana. The number is, let's see. The amount of kids using drugs, as measured since 1975, is at the lowest rates ever recorded. That's right, folks. When it comes to 12th graders, and they've been asking 12th graders since 1975, have you used any drugs in the past 30 days other than pot? 4.8% of the high school seniors, the 12th graders, said that they'd used pot in the past 30 days. And that's the lowest number ever recorded. Again, since 1975, 45 years of asking this question, lowest numbers ever recorded. When it comes to the 10th graders, high school sophomores, 3.7%, lowest numbers ever recorded. And when it comes to the eighth graders, it's at 3.5%, which is higher than it's been, but still below the average since 1991. We'd like that to be lower, but 10th graders and 12th graders, lowest rates of drug use ever recorded. Now, maybe this is a fluke, you think? Maybe it's a fluke. It's a 1 year off. No, folks. When you look back, last year's figures for the 10th and 12th graders, well, at least for the 12th graders, were the second lowest. And for the 2018 figures, they were the third lowest. And for the 2017 figures, they were the fourth lowest. And for the 2016 figures, they were the sixth lowest. They've gone nothing but down over the past 5 years. Since 2016, the rates of kids using drugs other than marijuana are at their lowest rates ever recorded for the past 5 years. And I've got copies of this data up on my website, radicalrust.com. Just click up on the data
heading up in the menu, and you'll get right to it. On my chart, on my tables, I highlight the numbers in green that are the five lowest numbers. And on every drug, the five lowest numbers are all shifted to the far right. All the five lowest numbers are within the past decade or so. We look at, let's see, cocaine. Cocaine use among all grades, lowest levels ever recorded this year. Like 0.8% amongst the 12th graders. When we look at amphetamines, you know, speed, lowest rates ever recorded this year, 2020. When you look at ecstasy, MDMA, it's up a little bit, but it's still the third lowest ever recorded. And all the five lowest rates of ecstasy use are all recorded in the last 5 years. Barbiturate use, second lowest rates ever recorded. Tranquilizer use, lowest rates ever recorded. Now, there is some concern when it comes to heroin, but when it comes to the heroin numbers, these are like the 0.3% range, so the tiniest little fluctuation looks bigger than it really is. The numbers are still in the below average or within the five lowest rates ever recorded when it comes to these grades. Hallucinogens are up a bit, but again, below the averages for all of these grades, and the lowest rates are in the last 5 years. This trend is even carrying over to alcohol and cigarettes. Alcohol, fifth lowest in 2020, but the past 5 years have been third lowest, tied for third, second lowest, first lowest, fifth lowest. So again, last 5 years, alcohol use, lowest rates ever recorded among teens. Cigarette use, fifth lowest, fourth lowest, third lowest, first lowest, and this year was the second lowest. The lowest five rates, all within the past 5 years. But what about the marijuana? Because all this talk is about drugs aside from marijuana. What's the marijuana use done amongst the kids? Well, this year, 21.1% of 12th graders said they'd smoked pot in the past 30 days. 16.6% of 10th graders. And 6.5% of 8th graders. For the 8th graders and 12th graders, those are still below the averages of all kids being asked. And there's not much change in these numbers over the past decade or so. In fact, over the 2000s, these rates are down for all the kids, all the grades. So the marijuana legalization for the adults hasn't really changed much about how many kids are smoking pot. And this is interesting as you dig deeper into the survey, because they also ask kids about their attitudes about marijuana. They ask them, do you think there's a great risk in using marijuana on a regular basis? You think there's a great risk in using marijuana on a regular basis? Now, unfortunately, we don't have the number for high school seniors this year. There was a few numbers that weren't reported because of COVID. And why does that matter for stats? Well, with COVID, they had fewer surveys that were returned. And when your number gets too small, the number's too small to make a real statistical certainty about anything, right? So there weren't enough high school seniors, is what we're saying. But for the 10th graders, lowest rate ever recorded of 10th graders who think there's a great risk to using marijuana, just 36% think there's a great risk to using marijuana. The prior year for high school seniors, it was 30% who thought it was a great risk. And in 2018, it was the lowest it was ever recorded at 26.7%. So again, over the past 5 years, the kids' perception of harm, the kids thinking that marijuana is going to do something bad to them, has plummeted. It's the last 5 years. Again, the trend holds. Last 5 years, we're getting the lowest recorded rates ever. And the stigma is going away over these last 5 years. In fact, this year, the stigma, which is what percentage of kids strongly disapprove of regular marijuana use, strongly disapprove, the 8th graders, 75.9%, 10th graders, 65.6%, right? So majorities still, and they don't have the 12th grade number for this year, but last year it was 66.7, two-thirds. So still at least 2/3 of kids strongly disapprove of marijuana, but that's the lowest rates that's ever been recorded. It used to be in the 80s and 90s of strongly disapproving of marijuana. So kids have less stigma about people who smoke pot. They think there's less risk of those of smoking pot. And yet, they're not smoking more pot. I mean, one part of what the prohibitionists were afraid of, that smoking pot would send a message to the kids that it wasn't that harmful, they were absolutely right. It did send that message, not in the way that they intended it, in the way that the truth intends it. Like when you learn that it's not going to cause the same brain damage as a nuclear bomb or cause man boobs or all the ridiculous stuff they spouted through the Reefer Madness era, of course you're going to think it's less harmful than that once you find the truth. But they think it's less harmful, they're less stigmatized by it, and they're finding it harder to get. Over the past 5 years, they asked the question, how easy do you think it would be to get marijuana? Fairly easy, kind of easy, right? So the percentage of kids that say it would be easy or fairly easy to get marijuana is 28% for 8th graders, 55% for 10th graders, and last year it was 78% for high school seniors. The last 5 years have all had the lowest registered numbers, and they keep going down, of kids that say it's easy to get marijuana. In fact, it wasn't until legalization happened that we got the first time that that number went below 80%. It was like in 2013. So all the fear-mongering of the prohibitionists, they got one part right, that the kids would think it's less harmful, but that leading them to use more marijuana didn't happen. More of them to use marijuana did not happen. And that leading more kids to be using drugs has not happened either. Now, I'm not necessarily saying it's legalization that's made this happen, legalizing marijuana that's made fewer kids use drugs. I really think it has to do with the internet. I really think it just has to do with kids having more stuff to do these days. No, I remember when I was a kid, teenager, and part of the problem was, you know, oh, we're bored. Let's get messed up. Let's get drunk. Let's get messed up. And now kids have, you know, virtual reality video games and, you know, chats and all sorts of things to do. All that drug war data mining information is available on my website, RadicalRust.com. Just go to the data section, click on data up at the top there. Coming up in our next segment, time for a radical rant, we're going to take a look at the prospects for federal legalization and why everything is coming down to a upcoming vote in the state of Georgia. And I'll see if I can check out a new pair of lips. I don't know what's wrong today. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ Belville. You know me. I'm from Idaho, where we've got two strains of marijuana, got some and don't. But until I can help legalize marijuana in the Gem State, I can still bring you the best the hemp plant has to offer at Boise Hemp World. Boise Hemp World features the Mama Duck line of CBD tinctures and pain creams and the Millie Dogs line of CBD pet tinctures and dog treats. Hemp World also features CBD candy, gummies, gum, spices, and a whole assortment of tie-dye and hemp clothing and accessories. And under the laws of America's last absolute prohibition state, all Hemp World CBD products are 100% THC-free, so you won't fail any drug screenings. Boise Hemp World, now with two locations, our flagship store at 6928 West State Street in the Glenwood Shopping Center, and our new location at 1720 West State Street in the Albertson Shopping Center. We're also the headquarters for the Idaho Cannabis Coalition's campaign to legalize medical marijuana in 2022. Find us online at BoiseHempWorld.com or call us toll-free at 844-IDA-HEMP. And tell them Radical Russ sent you.
And now, a brief glimpse into the future.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson. For decades, the United States government criminally prohibited cannabis. Because of that prohibition, many consumers may have knowingly or unknowingly smoked schwag, marijuana of poor quality, also known as ditchweed, Mexican brick, or simply shit. If you or a loved one smoked swag, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Smoking swag has been linked to coughing, hacking, and failure to get high. Exposure to swag in college, parking lots, bodegas, parties, restaurant, or hospitality industries may put you at risk. Please don't wait. Call 1-800-420-LAW today for a free legal consultation and financial information packet. Swag survivors, call now. 1-800-420-LAW.
This has been a look into the future.
Hey, Radical Russ here, hoping you'll join me live every Friday at 4 p.m. Mountain for the Russ Belville Show. Each week, I bring you the latest news in marijuana, analysis of drug war data, and cannabis conversations with the people fighting for the end of adult marijuana prohibition. I'll also throw in a little bit of stoner comedy and my trademark radical rants. It's the Russ Belville Show, live Fridays at 4 p.m., replayed over the following weekdays, and available as a free podcast at RadicalRuss.com.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Things are moving along in the United States Congress as far as getting marijuana legalized. We've got the MORE Act, the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act, which has passed the U.S. House and gone to the U.S. Senate, where it will die. It's not going to get a hearing. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, the Republican from Kentucky, has basically let just about every bill that's gotten to his desk die. He's even joked about it. He's called himself the Grim Reaper for Nancy Pelosi's liberal agenda. Oh, if only Nancy Pelosi had a liberal agenda. But that notwithstanding, we are making progress. The House has also heard a number of bills having to do with banking, the Safe Banking Act, that would allow the state legal marijuana operators to access banking facilities. And I'm telling you, as someone runs and co-owns a dispensary, it's really a pain to be cash only. I'm thankful that we're a really small operation, or otherwise it would be way too much to handle. The opportunities for theft and fraud. And we just heard a story this week of a dispensary worker being shot in North Portland. Over a robbery. And these places are attractive targets for robbers, thanks to it being a cash-only industry. So we continue to make progress in the House, but all of that progress will be stymied in the U.S. Senate, so long as Mitch McConnell is the leader of that U.S. Senate. And that's where the balance of power hangs when it comes to this election happening in Georgia. We've got two Georgia Senate runoff elections, and this happened. There was, you know, senators, their elections are staggered every 2 years, right? So you generally, you're not voting on two senators in the same state at the same time. But Kelly Loeffler, one of the senators, was appointed. She was put into that office after another senator stepped off, and I forget which one it was or why he stepped off, but I just know she was appointed to that position. And so that position has to be voted on. It's a temporary thing, and you have to vote again for it in this upcoming election. And there's a quirk in, well, not a quirk, but the way Georgia election laws work is that you have to have a majority of the vote in order to win. And in both of their elections, the incumbent senators, the two Republicans, Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, both did not, they managed to lead in their elections, but did not garnered the 50% they needed to outright win. So that triggers an automatic runoff between the two top finishers. Now, the two top finishers in this case are Loeffler, the Republican incumbent, who is the richest member of the Senate, to the nine-figure net worth, hundreds of millions of dollars of wealth, versus Reverend Raphael Warnock, who's an African-American pastor, a reverend, of the Emmanuel Church in Atlanta, the church that Martin Luther King Jr. was the pastor of. So the richest person in the Senate versus Raphael Warnock, a reverend of Martin Luther King's church. And in the other race, we got David Perdue, who is also enormously wealthy, only an eight-figure net worth, but still, versus John Ossoff. Now, in this case, both the people running are white men. And I think that'll be an interesting contrast to see how these races turn out when it's a black man versus a white woman, and the other race at the same time are two white men. You'd think if it went totally partisan, there'd be all Democrats one way, all Republicans the other way, and it'd be a kind of an equal vote. But the difference in the vote, if there's any, could have a lot to say about the electorate. It'll just be interesting to watch. Now, why this is important for marijuana legalization is because after this most recent election, Democrats failed to capture any of the vulnerable Senate seats that they thought they would get, like in Maine for Susan Collins or in Iowa with Joni Ernst. They didn't get some of those. I think they got Cory Gardner's seat. But that leaves them with a 50 to 48 lead. Now, if the Democrats, John Ossoff and Reverend Raphael Warnock, can win their Senate runoff elections in Georgia, then you get a 50-50 tie. Woohoo, a tie. But that's actually good for the Democrats in this case, because a 50-50 tie is broken by the president of the Senate. And the president of the Senate is the vice president of the United States. That's the way it works. The vice president actually has a gig. You know, a lot of people think the vice president's just there in case the president dies and then they become president, right? Well, no, the vice president actually has a constitutionally mandated gig. They're the president of the Senate. Now, for the most thing, it's a powerless position. It normally has no weight whatsoever. Normally just ceremonial and functional, right? But in a case of a 50-50 tie, vice president becomes the tiebreaker. So you end up with a 51-50 Senate, which is a kind of a funny reference if you know LA criminal code, California criminal code, right? So these two Democrats are running and they've got to win. And it's frustrating to me because I've been looking at the most recent polls and they seem to be running neck and neck in both races. And it's mind-blowing given what we know about Loeffler and Perdue. Now, both of them serve on Senate committees for which they get these classified briefings. And one of the briefings they got was a briefing on coronavirus. You know, way back prior to it taking our whole country all over, when it was first emerging internationally, they got all sorts of classified briefings letting them know, hey, this big superbug is coming. Big global pandemic is coming. And they both, Loeffler and Perdue, use that knowledge to then dump their stock holdings in things that would be affected by the pandemic. Oh, we got some travel stocks. We got some casino stocks. We got anything having to do with hospitality and tourism. Let's dump those stocks, because they're gonna tank when there's a pandemic, and then went and bought stocks in things that would do well during the pandemic. You know, emergency clinics and body bags and things like that. Can you think of anything more cartoonishly evil as 300,000+ Americans are losing their lives in a deadly pandemic, to use that knowledge while publicly saying, oh, it's a hoax. Oh, it's not real. Oh, don't worry about this. The Democrats are just trying to scare you. Doing that and behind the scenes profiting off of it. I mean, it's Disney level cartoonish evil, twirling the mustache, wear the Dalmatians as a coat kind of evil. And yet they're neck and neck. That woman is running neck and neck with the Reverend of Martin Luther King's church. And it just makes me sad for the country, man, because I can't imagine how this. Well, I mean, it's a microcosm of what happened nationally. How can it even be a close race? How can any of these races be close? How can the people be so brainwashed? Listen to Raphael Warnock. Here's the Reverend speaking about our issue.
Marijuana seen as an illegal substance. It's a terrible irony, and we feel it, that right now in America, there are some folk who are becoming billionaires for selling the same stuff that's got our children locked up all across America. Where is the justice? It's not enough to decriminalize marijuana. Somebody's got to open up the jails and let our children go.
That's Reverend Raphael Warnock, running for the Senate seat, held by the richest member of the Senate, who got a grade of F from Normal for her marijuana stances. She's a dyed-in-the-wool, old-school prohibitionist. You know, as many of those ultra-rich are, it's probably just part and parcel of being, you know, bought up in healthcare and pharmaceutical stocks. Probably doesn't even consider the moral angle of it. It's just how much money is there. Running neck and neck, those two. Can you believe it? Let me give you a clip here from John Ossoff. Now, John Ossoff, running against David Perdue. Here's John Ossoff talking about our issue.
Yeah, I'm not just for decriminalization. I'm for outright legalization of cannabis nationally. I think that the prohibition of this substance is irrational. I think that it's, as you pointed out, also a deep injustice that there are people getting wealthy in the legal cannabis industry while other folks are sitting in prison for cannabis-related offenses. I think that whether you smoke or not should be up to you. I don't encourage it, but I don't encourage heavy drinking either. And alcohol is a legal substance. We're responsible for our own health.
Right.
And the enforcement of the prohibition of cannabis destroys lives. It costs huge amounts of money, and it's unjust. So I'm in favor not just of legalization, but also expunging the records of people who have nonviolent marijuana-related offenses on their records.
Now, the incumbent senator that he's battling, David Perdue, got a B-minus grade from Normal. So he's not the mustachioed villain so much in that respect as Kelly Loeffler is, but still someone who's not anywhere near what John Ossoff is saying on marijuana legalization, marijuana expungement, decriminalization, and all of these issues. The fact that these races remain close is just mind-boggling to me, and I just hope that the people of Georgia will understand that the fate of the nation is pretty much in their hands, and that's, you know, a lot to ask. You know, we see Stacey Abrams down there in the state who's mobilized voters like no one has before, who could pretty much could be given the credit for flipping Georgia out of the red column when it comes to the presidential election. But the frustrating part to me, as someone who would prefer Democrats to win if given just those two choices, is how badly Democrats have done over this past election, aside from ousting Trump. And again, that's probably not so much a Biden win as a Trump loss. And it just comes down to the fact that Democrats don't know what the people want, or they know what the people want and ignore it in favor of donors and incumbency and power and access and other issues. And nowhere is that more glaringly obvious than when it comes to the marijuana issue. When you have the federal government to the right of the state of South Dakota on the issue of marijuana legalization, something is definitely wrong. Let's get these two Georgia Senate runoff seats. Maybe we can get the Senate in Democratic hands. Don't expect too much. Joe Biden is definitely a centrist, and looking at how he's packed his cabinet so far, it's a centrist cabinet. We'll have plenty more to talk about coming up in hour two on federal marijuana legalization. Also, a man who got a life sentence for two dime bags. He was released from prison this week. And we're going to go way back to the past, 30 years ago, with some clips from my musical career. Stay tuned. For everyone out there, thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roam it, you smoke it.
rocket and it goes down smooth.